Hallelujah.
Father, we magnify you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we thank you. We thank you for the very life and power and energy of heaven. It's been made available to us. Well, thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you for you are bringing us to the place where we can see that there is nothing that the world has to give. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
The place where we can come into your economy, can come into the partakers of the kingdom. You are making us to be partakers of your inheritance. Lord, we bless you. We are saying you are so magnified. As the psalmist will say, that all that love you should say, let God be magnified.
Amen.
Let God be magnified.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
In our hearts, in our gathering.
Amen.
That you will be your true self, you will be magnified. We pray you magnify yourself in our thoughts, in our meditation. That you might find a true pathway, a true headway within. We just bless your name, hallelujah. We worship your name, O Lord. Amen. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I don't know if you take that song, we worship you. No, there is no one like you. it's not like you. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. I'll be looking at Revelation 1. Verse 8 is something that it's like a confused thought, you know, if you look at it in the natural. It says, I am Alpha, that's beginning, and then Omega, that's the end. It says the beginning and the ending. You know, is it possible to see the beginning and the end in one person? You know, say, I am the Alpha and the Omega. You know, and then it says what that means. It says, which is, you understand, and was, and is to come.
Planning all the time.
You understand? And then he says that is what it means to be almighty. You know what I mean? It's the beginning and the end. And he is, and was, and is to come. Amen. And it's only one person, the Almighty. So there is nothing that is, I mean, so that has to be a tremendous amount of power and energy. You know, is it really possible for this can be one person? You know, and that is what we are dealing with, but because we are so limited, you know, but you see, it's part of the resurrection that we come into that. We now receive the capacity to tap into that eternity. You know what I mean? Because he is and will always be, and he was, and is to come. He's the beginning and the end. So if he's beginning and the end, he is before the beginning and the end.
It's all encompassing.
It's just too big, but that's God, you know. And it's breaking in, you know. And so it's like the limitation is in me, and it's on my part, because I'm coming to God with now, with present. I'm just seeing now. Even what happened in the past, I may not be able to remember. Of course, not to talk of what is coming, you know. But there is a hope, you know. And the hope is in, well, getting out of my situation and getting into God. Because when I come into God, then, you know, I have access to the past, the present, and the future. You know, and what opens that up is the mind of Christ. You know, because there's only one thing, one major thing that can fit into this, and that is the mind. You know, because the mind has the capacity to be here now and to be in the past. And to be in the, you can think about the past, you can think about the future, and you, of course, it's in the present. You know, so it is the very nature of God. In other words, God gives us how does it? It's like you have a blueprint or a basis. You understand? We can get into it, or you can remain where it is. You know, I look at it in terms of when somebody goes to buy a piece of land, you know, you have to develop it. Some people don't develop it, they just buy land. So, well, it's like a man who has his talent, he buries it, he doesn't develop it. Another one brings five, the other one brings 10 out of the same land, you know. So with time we begin to discover a number of things have been going on in my mind. Each time I look in the Psalms, in the scriptures, anytime it talks about God, it's either it's talking about God hearing you, God seeing you, God, you know, in every description where it talks about God, it has to do with God that is living. You know, everything about God is about activity. God hears it. God has mercy on you. God responds. And it is the same way that God expects us to hear Him, you know, see Him, respond to Him, you know. And then you're looking at, for instance, verse 10, you know, kind of brings that thinking, you know, kind of brings it forward. It says, I was in the spirit on the last day. I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. He says, I what thou seest, write in the book and send it to the seven churches. You know. And look at verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that speak with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. You know, so he's speaking about, he heard the voice. And then he turned to see where that voice, and what happened? He began to see. You see, and that's what happens when you're in the spirit. You know, there's a scripture in one of those times, it says that those who make idols are like the idols. What is an idol? He has an eye.
And not see.
He doesn't see.
He
has an ear. He doesn't hear.
He has
a nose. He doesn't smell. He has a mouth. He cannot speak. He has a leg. He cannot walk. You see, like those that make the idols are like those idols. You know what? It's dead. You understand? Exactly. So, that's where we start off, in the sense that we can't hear the voice of God. You understand? We can't even see God. We can't even discern the presence of God. Talk of partake of the life of God. Because of the idolatry in the heart, the darkness in the heart. You know, and we take that as normal life, as reality. Mm-hmm. But it's like not being alive unto God. So like what I say, God is so big. Yeah, we can't feel the greatness of God. We can't feel the life of God. But everything about God is living, because in the presence of God there are always voices. They're always thundering. There's always a voice. So he was in the spirit and heard, you know, and he turned and he saw. So there's always activity. There's always something to see or to hear or to perceive. So there's no dull moment with God. You understand? You know, the dull moment comes when there's an idol. Something cuts us off and makes us not to respond to God. So God is there, but we're not responding to Him. There's a breach. There's something that's cut off, you know. So I have to pray and say, God, I want to be awake. I want to arise. I want to begin to respond to God, you know, to fear God and all that, you know. So the first rule can see there. It pertains to being in the spirit. Now, what does it mean to be in the spirit? And who knows? What does it mean to be in the spirit? You see me? What?
Connected with God.
Yes, how do you get connected with God?
I worship Him with my God.
That's good. But there's still something that we need to do in order to be connected. When he says somebody in the spirit, what did Romans say about somebody who's in the spirit?
The mind is not carnal.
Yes,
mind is in the spirit. Spiritual mind.
Spirit.
It's alive.
Okay. Okay, maybe you want to read it. Romans 8. 8. Romans 8. No. 8 or so.
Eight.
I think it's 8:9 really, that's a...
But you are not in the flesh but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwells in you. And if any man have not the spirit of Christ, it's none of him.
Okay, so this is what defines to be in the spirit. So how are you in the spirit?
If the spirit of God dwells in you.
You have the spirit of Christ.
So what is you? When you say if the spirit of God dwells in you, then you are in the spirit. So what is you?
Your soul
is
spirit.
What is you?
You is your soul. Your mind.
Okay. So I have given my heart as a dwelling place. You know, come Father, come Son, come dwell, you know. So there is a place where the Holy Spirit wants to be, you know. And the devil is doing everything to make sure that doesn't happen, but he's losing the battle because we are breaking in.
Amen.
You understand? So where is that place? Where is this, you know? Where is the place that the Spirit of God wants to be?
In the soul, I think.
No, it's not the same. It is soul and spirit. Are they the same?
No. It's the soul that the Spirit of Christ wants to live. We already have the Spirit of God in us.
So, when God comes into the tabernacle, where does He come in from?
Comes from our spirit. Holy of Holies, the most holy, then He wants to come to our soul and inhabit it completely.
What does the metal seat represent in you?
Our spirit.
The metal seat. Is it outer court or in the holy place? So when God comes into the tabernacle, he comes into the holiest of all. Then comes into the holy place, comes into the soul, and then comes through the body.
Yes.
You understand? So, with God, it's in, out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But for us, it is out, in. Amen.
It's coming this way, we're coming this way.
You understand? So he says, So if you are going to feel the greatness of God in the way God is manifesting Himself, it's like something you cannot see.
Mm.
It's like a quiet invasion. You know, heaven is coming down. You understand? He said that kingdom come. You know, so if God is coming into you, so where is the first place that is going to the life and energy of God is going to come into?
Into the spirit first.
It's in the spirit, isn't it?
Yes.
It's in the spirit. You know, when God comes into the spirit, there's a lot of power, there's a lot of energy that has come in. But see, my humanity, you know, can still block it out because there's a veil, isn't it?
Yeah.
You have a veil between the holiest of all and the holy place. That's a veil, a very thick veil. Okay? You know, so if we are going to feel that power of God coming into us, then the veil has to be broken.
Mm.
You know, and what is the veil?
Flesh.
The veil is our humanity.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And that humanity is in our minds, in our emotions, it's in the whole. So the way God is going to break it is to put that flesh under some strain, under some pressure, under some hardship. Then, you know, you begin to break it up. Then that life of God begins to come into the mind, into the emotions and all that. So heaven has to come down. And in order to do that, we must, we have to be in the spirit. So, the thing is, to be in the spirit is to see and understand fully that when I am baptized in the Holy Ghost, that I am in the spirit, because the spirit. So that's what he's saying here, that he was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Okay, where do we see the example of that? We're talking about this greatness of God. Now if you go to Genesis chapter 1, you know, it gives us an understanding a little bit of this. In fact, what we are looking at is the baptism, because the Spirit of God is coming. You see this greatness of God, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, has come into our soul, come into our spirit. You know, so it's like an overwhelming, it's like we're being drawn into Christ. You know, so it says Christ in you is the hope. But you see, the main person that the Spirit of God wants to is the soul, because the spirit is an endowment to bring God into my soul.
Yeah.
So and that endowment is given for a time, you know, for a period of time, which is the lifetime of somebody. That's when, you know, he says the spirit of man is the candle, you know, to give light, you know. So if we go to Genesis chapter 1, if you go to Genesis chapter 1, and the earth, verse 2, it says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2, and the earth was tohu bohu. I'm speaking Hebrew. Without form means tohu, void, bohu. That is, it was lifeless. You know, it was waste, formless. It has no, you know, there's nothing. It was like a desert. It was a wilderness, vain. You know, if I use the word vanity, that is the word. Yes.
Created the earth,
so
how was it?
Is it what?
The earth wasn't created, so how was it?
Exactly. So it's speaking of a spiritual earth. Yes.
How long did it take for everything to be?
we're not told. So
these scientists can be right. It says 2 billion.
No, there's no way they could have been right. There's no right, they would have been right. There's no time given, so that you cannot, you can't start putting any. So and because God, there's no time in God. There's no point in giving billions and all those things, because he says one day with God is like a thousand, and you know. So
if I can just ask
yes, please.
A quick question.
Yes.
there's this, so there are some believers that believe that there was an earth before this earth of Genesis 1. And you go to Ezekiel to say, what are your thoughts about that?
No, that there was a pre Adamic and all those things. All those are speculations and conjectures, you know. I have seen books, you know, people that talk about it and all that. But you see, in the spirit, is all those are is, yeah, because you look at it, that he is the Alpha, he is the Omega, he is and was and is to come. So it covers everything. So it doesn't really matter whether there was two or three or something, because all that, I'm not really interested, because eternity is in my spirit. Don't you understand? So you understand, eternity, the whole of the almightiness of God is in my spirit, wanting to break into my soul. So it's now
that you have
really, yeah, I have it now. Yeah, so whether it happened in the past, or it's happening now, or it's going to happen in the future, you know. So yeah, so those things are there. They talk about the two, you know, pre-Adamic, but for me, it's mainly academic. What's the reality that now heaven? You see, the thing is. There is a reality in heaven. There are voices.
Yes.
You say you have come to Mount Zion.
Yes.
What is Mount Zion? An innumerable company of angels. Are you aware of them?
Yes.
Do you relate to them?
I was sharing something on Sunday about what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration.
Uh-huh.
Moses and Elijah.
Exactly.
There's
a reality in heaven. And here, we're talking about not being responsive to God.
Yes.
You know? That those who... In fact, the scripture says, he that made the eyes, can he not see?
Yeah.
He that created. That's, what was that scripture? He said, Psalm 48 verse, what that Psalm, I'm trying to. He said, he that created the ears, will he not hear?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you understand? So there is activity in heaven. We are the ones that are dead.
No.
And cut off.
No.
You know what? We need to resurrect.
No.
We need to come alive. To heaven. In fact, there is an energy in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
On this earth, there is no life at all.
Mm-hmm. It's a waste.
You understand? No, there is something. There's an energy in the earth. Well, I don't want that energy. The energy in the earth comes from sexuality. That is the energy. Because he told them in Luke 32, he said that those who are going to be in this resurrection, they're going to be like the angels. You understand? So there's an energy that they are going to work with, not the energy that drives life on the natural plane. So there is an energy of God. You know, Jesus said, as the Heavenly Father has life in him, he has also granted to the Son to have life in him and to live by him. You understand? There's a life of God. In fact, that's where we are going to. There's a life and an energy of God. All the things you have done today, you are doing it by the power of God,
mm-hmm.
not by your own strength and ability and so on and so on. There are two different things. You can do things and succeed by your own energy. After some time, you burn out.
Yeah.
That is suppose they fall dead. Then they burn out. They see another man. He's doing the same thing, but he's being propelled by the energy. That he's tapping into, you know. So that is what I think that.
We need the energy of God to do the things we do.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know. So yes. So you need that wisdom of God. You need that strength of God. You need that, you know, to plug into the economy of God. You know, and you see, how can you plug in if the mind is not responding to God? Don't you understand? The plug place is the mind. Is the mind. That's the right way you get plugged in. Is the mind. You know. So here he's talking about, you know, look at it. Says, and God said, let there be light.
Mm.
And there was light.
Amen.
You know. And God saw that the light was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And he called the light day, and the darkness he called night. The evening and the morning were the first day. Verse 6 is really what's exciting me. So let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was, in other words, the firmament was baptized. I don't know if the firmament is baptized by water. It's in the midst of it, so there is water. So these heavens we are looking at is actually being enveloped by water. Yeah. So there is water above. That's baptism. See, and that is the second place. That's the liver experience where we come to. And you see, it's speaking of the mind. You know, my mind needs to come to a place where it is submerged, where it is overwhelmed by the life of God.
Oh, yeah,
okay,
no, no.
And then Peter says that the earth being in the water and out of the water, it touches that Christian. It's a Christian. You need to stand up a bit. So that you can receive the energy of God. So you can get the energy of God. Amen. Father, we pray for Sister Christy that you touch her with the very life of God. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I will tell you, brother, that you know there is something that we need to change. It's in the mind. You see, I am not body. I am soul. This body was given to serve my soul. You know, many times, you know, we look at only to who are you? Are you thinking of the body? No, you're not the body. The body is given to serve. So the soul should speak to the body.
Amen.
And give life.
Aye.
You know, to quicken the body. So we see the body controlling the soul. You know, I know.
Question. I was listening to a message and someone was saying that that women are weaker vessels. Like, so it's the soul that is weaker. But then I thought that souls don't have gender.
Remember, yeah, that is always that the soul must be married to the spirit.
No. Well, the weakness, I think, is more of the body. It's more of the body. I mean, I'm just taking my feet offhand. I think it's more of the body. Because the soul is a spiritual thing. However, scripture also says, male and female created he them, you know, so you would presume that there may be certain characteristics, you know, that's the natural manifestation of the soul, because in the spirit you say there is neither male or female. Uh-huh. So you have to take it together in the sense that since the body has to relate with the soul, there is some kind of
weakness
that comes in the manifestation.
The body sort of pulls
down. That's right.
You know, so the soul has that susceptibility.
Yes.
To be brought down to.
Oh, of course. Yes. Well. Yes.
But it also has a susceptibility to be pulled up to
the. Exactly. And that what Paul said. I keep under my body. We need to learn to keep our body down.
Yes.
You understand? So if you do not keep our body down, then the body will keep the soul down.
If you don't keep your body under, then you be a man.
Yes.
The soul will be a man. So, but if you pull your body, if the soul pulls the body, that's why it says that. In the kingdom of God, there's neither
male or female. Yes.
But the thing used to say that people say women should not preach in the church. Mm-hmm. It's because there are many women in their church. Women, in the sense that they are not
the
spirit, that woman you're seeing there is a son of God.
Mm.
And if she's a son of God, she's not a woman. At the point she's ministering at the level of a son,
it's a spiritual.
So it's like she's been caught up to that
to the reality of what God wants her to be.
Yes.
But as long as we want to remain as physical women,
that means you're related to the body.
And then I will relate
to the body.
Physical man.
Uh-huh.
Then we will say, don't talk here. You know that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
We are all.
So is that what I say? Now knowing no man after the flesh. So we should relate to people as that you, or even in age, so like this is a young boy, because in the spirit, really, the age again is the body, okay? In the, you know, so in the spirit, when the spirit is quickened, the body is put under.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really matter if it's a child or an old person, you know, it doesn't matter whether he's really an old person or not, you know. So I believe that's what he's bringing us to, that place where the soul is, and what will help, you know, and the thing that's going to help me to overcome is the energy that comes from heaven, that comes into my soul. That's what's going to really correlate that imbalance of this body overwhelming, you know. And the thing is, the body, it's at the mercy of the spiritual power of darkness, because you see, that's what the devil has that say. He has that state to the body. He says, "Fear him that is able to kill the body."
He says,
"So do not fear those who are just able to kill the body." So the devil has access to the body, you know, through, you know, the natural, and of course, what he does is to, is to inflame that, and the part of our of us that is the fallen nature of the emotions and then the desires, you know, and those are the creeping things. It's down, and it's earthbound. It gets its energy from the earth.
Yeah,
you understand? But see, God allowed it to be that way because so that He's going to lift that soul that is so earthbound and make it heaven bound, you know. So you are looking at, we're still talking about this, the baptism, the resurrection, the pulling up, you know. So the man comes into the world, his mind is completely under his emotions. The desire and the mind are ruling, and that is the beastly soul. It is, you know, everything he knows is just responding all to the soul has no authority.
Mm.
The mind has no authority, because the energy that should come to the soul comes from the mind, and the mind gets its life from the heavens. You understand? Okay, so that's why I say that the earth was without form and void. It's not what it should be.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So he comes and says, "O son of man," he took him to the valley of dry bones. I said, "Can these bones live?" And he said, "The bones were very dry, very, very dry." And I said, "God, you know." So the life of God began to come into those bones, and they began to, you know, to be quickened. He said, bone came to his bone, flesh came to his flesh, and the breath of God came onto it, and it quickened. You know, so what we need is that breath of God that, you know, that is going to quicken the fallen emotion. You know? that breath is the word. Is the breath is the word. You know, and the word of God is quickened. It's life and it's spirit, you know, that comes. And as we receive the life of God, we see that there's an energy that comes onto us. You know, but you see, we can have that life of God coming to us on a daily basis.
Yeah.
You know, if we walk, my wife and I were doing a project now, you know, so we say, yes, and you say you have to put pressure on the mind. try to keep the mind under pressure, of the word of God. You see, if you want it to work, it's not like a 5 minute thing, you do it in the morning and no. The mind must constantly be under the pressure of the word of God. You know, and before time, so that word, it begins to soak in the word. And as it does that, it begins to rise. It begins to be quickened and begin to rise. And it's like I'm seeing something in the spirit where God is showing me. I see a grasshopper. You know the wings of a grasshopper? Can you imagine how it is? It's very, very thin. Eh? Or of an insect. Very, very thin and transparent. Eh? You can even see the outlines. They compare it with the wing of an eagle. Eh? One is stronger than the other one, is it not? So there's no way that little insect is going to even go anywhere, because the body is stronger than the wind. So the body is so heavy, and the wing is so, as the wing speaks of the mind, there's no energy. You understand? So for your mind to rise, you must have energy. You must have the life of God in it. As the life of God comes into the mind, it begins to get strength. And of course it begins to rise. You know, above. Straight in the inward man. Yes.
The Lord showed me that the inner man is so weak.
Yes.
It needs, you know, so much strength there. You'll be strengthened with what?
Might.
By his
spirit.
So there's so much force coming into that inner man to give it strength.
Okay, now that strength is the life coming from the realm of your spirit into your soul.
So, yes.
Now, into your soul means the mind, because see, if you look at the structure, sorry, if you permit me to use that word, but see, you have to understand the way it is to know how it works. The soul, the highest point of the soul is the mind. The lowest point is the emotions, and in fact, the desire is even lower. Because he shows the desire, that is the face of a man, that is the fallen nature of man. So that's even deeper, because that fallen nature of man is the nature of the Philistine. You know the Philistine? Philistine means rolling and wallowing in the mud. That it's never going to get out of the ground. The Philistine is earthbound. It's a master of the earth.
How did you say?
The Philistine means to wallow. To roll in the mud. That's what that word means, to roll in the mud. That means.
That's a pig.
It is. You know, you clean it, your fellowship on Sunday, forget it. My Monday.
Immediately
that fellowship. Every wine in the fellowship, you are attached to nature. You are dealing with. So to deal with that kind of nature, you need to go higher. That what it means. So it's a nature, and then the Philistines have 5 lords.
Yeah.
And those 5 lords, as my brother has said, is. They signify those 5 senses. Okay? Now, the first one of those Philistines is Ashdod. No, sorry, it's the first one is Gath. And Gath means stronghold. Alright? The second one, Ashdod, means to plunder, to destroy, to bring a ruin. You understand? So it's to create a wilderness. Now, the second one, the third one, Ashkelon, means to be a merchant. Shekel means money. Merchant, it's money, it's trading. So Ashkelon means a buyer, it's somebody who is a seeker of pleasure. Somebody who has a business of seeking for pleasure, and, you know. And then the other one,
Ashdod.
No, Gaza. Gaza is the first one. That's the way I read it in my mind. The Gat means pleasures, wine. So you're looking at somebody who is seeking wine and seeking pleasure. Gaza means stronghold. It's a stronghold. The Gat is. Now, do you know somebody who was in Gat? Goliath of God. Say, so you look at strong, it's a giant. You understand? So pleasure seeking. And everything about this world is about what? Pleasure. Lovers of pleasure, mother. See, stronghold. You understand? And then the final one is Ekron. That means to put up by the roots. So even that little fellowship you are having, by the time you finish, there's somebody that's there to pluck it up. So nothing is going to grow. So you have a perpetual wasteland and desert. That is the Philistine, the spirit of Philistine. So they come to Israel, they wait for them. When they plant, they take everything. You can't even plant anything. They take it from you. You understand? And you know, so that is the spirit you are looking at. You are talking about the carnal nature, the body. So the body will always pull you down. So there has to be.
You must put the body on.
The only way.
Change it.
The way to do it is by the spirit.
No, sir, man.
So it's to open up the mind. Because see, the mind is the highest form, and then the highest part of the mind is the conscience. Alright? So, the conscience is closest to your spirit, and your spirit is closest to the spirit of God, and that forms the heart. You understand? So when you talk about conscience, think about the spirit of God, the spirit of man, and your mind or emotions. So your mind are locked up. So if you open your heart to God, the energy of heaven flows through through the spirit of God, through your own spirit, into the spirit of your mind. The spirit of your mind is the realm of the emotion. You know, it's unconscious. It's above conscious. You're not aware of it. You understand? That is the high levels of consciousness. Okay. Now, if God begins to bring life, you're not aware of it, but it's gradually flowing. It's gradually flowing. Okay. So that's why I said.
So the key is to open up
God. You have to open up the mind. So it says, this word of the Lord must not depart from your mouth. And as I told the brother, it's like, I take this Bible now, I put it in my mouth. You see what he's saying? So it's not this word. So the mouth, the entrance into the soul is the mind. And that's why the devil wants to block up with argument, with quarreling, with bitterness, with offense. You blocked.
With entertainment.
With entertainment. The life of God
doesn't come. That's the biggest problem.
Yes. It's entertainment. Pleasures. You understand? So it's a giant. So, but you have to slay. The way you slay the giant is to bring it. So during times of fellowship. That is. So I open up. But you see, I can create fellowship all the time for myself.
Amen.
All right. So you can. Daniel created fellowship 3 times in a day. Say, well. And for me, that midday one is the key.
Course.
Morning you have, because you are controlled. You're not running around. Night you have, but in the day, that is the height of business.
Yes.
That is the civil war. That is the civil war. If we win the civil war in the day, it's over.
Nice.
So that's the project we must be engaged in now. And in the day you have to go to work. You have to cook. You have to take care of this. You have to plan for this. So the mind is obvious. So that's where we must win the war. We must learn in the midst of that planning. The oil must be coming in. We must bring the oil. So if the oil comes in during the day, then at the time when my mind is quiet, it has a free time. You know. So you say you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind stayed. You know, so when the mind is hooked up, you see, the life of God comes into the mind, therefore the mind can give strength to the emotions. No, to the emotions, to the desire, to the will. The mind is one that gives life. You understand? And the ability of your mind to give life is what is called wisdom. Wisdom means is the that grace that comes from God that enables the mind to give instruction to the emotions and the desire and the will. That is the wisdom. It comes from God. It's the wisdom of God. Now, the wisdom of the world is what? Is that which is the mind has no ability to give anything. So rather, the emotions and the desire, which already ground, are ruling over the soul. You understand? And if they are ruling the soul, you guys go to this hell complete, one way traffic. Because you cannot pull up the mind. The floods cannot lift up their head. There's no excitement. You understand? You know? So it's not looking heavenward. It's earthbound and earthly.
And you find that your excitement is so fickle.
Yes.
So based on
earthly things. On nothing.
You know, there's in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy.
Yes.
I said, God, where is it? That fullness of joy.
It's in the realm of heaven.
I am a Sokomai. And you just tend to just want to be in that flame, enjoying rubbish.
Yes. You know, so there are so many things like I'm saying that, you know, and the devil gives those things that, you know, but you see the mind that is excited by the color of the food, that same mind can be excited by hearing the voice of God.
Amen.
You understand? So it's like you say God changed my appetite. You know, it's like God changed the frame of my mind. Okay. And you, the last scripture you have seen, you know, like we're looking at the second day, where he said, on the third day, he said, let there be a separation. The earth began to come forth, and the seeds. So you had the herb, you had the trees, I had the flowers. Is that the first sign of resurrection? The life of God coming forth. This, you know, if you look at the lampstand, you know, say he that is joined to the Spirit is one, to the Lord is one Spirit. So in other words, you see the Spirit of God beginning to come into the emotion and the mind that begin to walk, and there's a fruitfulness that begins to come. The life of God begins to come. It's not fully, but it's first fruit. The first fruit of the life of God, of hunger for God, desire for God. You begin to respond to God, you're able to see the things of God. Yeah, you know, there's a quickening, there is something that's happening. You know, it's first fruit. You know, and so it's telling you that, look, that I'm coming into that life of the Spirit. So your response to God is not just carnal. But you are responding to God in the realm of the Spirit, because the Spirit of God is walking and quickening you, and you know, and you know, bringing an excitement to you. You understand? You know, so we see that in
what you just said just reminded me of a discourse I had with Brother Isaac.
Okay.
So we are talking about, you know, meditation of the days and how, you know, the third day, you know, meditation started.
Yes.
And all that. But in science, it tells us that for plants to grow, they need, you know, the sunlight.
Yes.
You know, but according to God's order, God created the sun and moon on the what? The fourth day.
On the fourth day.
The higher source of.
That's right. Oh yeah, that's right.
You know, that existed.
That's right.
Before the sun.
The thing that gives the life is the water.
Yeah.
Is the that saying something is the life of God.
Yeah.
So that water the earth.
Yeah.
You understand? The seeds we are being watered. So in other words, the Spirit of God begins to come into your soul. And all the seeds of God, the seed is like ability, potentials, capacities, the different rooms, and you know, things. You know, as the Spirit of God begins to come, he says that when the seed hears the scent of water, it begins to sprout. You understand? That's what Job says. So even if the seed you planted there for many years is there, it's not dead. But when he hears the scent of water,
doesn't hear scent.
That's what the Bible says. It says scent of water. When he receives that energy of water,
perceives the scent.
He begins to. So it's just of a perception. You understand? So there are abilities within the mind which It's like you cannot do it, but you can.
Yeah.
You understand? All you need is the ministry of the word.
Mm.
So let the Spirit of God come into the realm of your soul and begin to walk.
Mm.
You understand?
I can do all things. Too.
Yes, yes.
So yeah. When I'm fine. Whether I don't have, I'm fine. Nothing is exciting but the Spirit of God.
Yes. You know, so when the Spirit of God begins to come and begins to water the soul, begins to minister to the mind, the emotions and desire, there's a fruitfulness, the life of God starts coming.
Mm.
You understand? And but there's a key to this fruitfulness. Is it, and it's in back to the where we were in Revelation 1. And I think that's where we need to get back to. So, Sister Christy, I'm going to read for us verse 1. Revelation 1. Read for us Revelation 1.
The book of Revelation of Jesus Christ.
So, read. Oh dear, I'm in the wrong place.
Revelation 1.
Hallelujah. Yes, verse 1. Chapter 1, verse. Read from verse 8 to.
8.
Verse 8 to the end.
I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. We are the Lord, which is and was, which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last.
Verse 11.
And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. The thing which thou hast been, the and I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the path with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged word, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Wow. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he said, he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last.
I am he that lived, that was and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlestick. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches.
Amen.
Amen.
So the key is the revelation of Christ.
Amen.
Not just that, but a personal revelation of Christ. Now, the common experience in the church is that when you talk of Jesus Christ, it's like a concept to people. You don't have it's not a common experience to find someone who has a personal living relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus is like, well, I know Jesus is there. You know, but that reality of Christ is very, very foreign. It's more like a concept, you know. But you see, you can't come into the holy place except you go through the door. At that door, Jesus is the personality of Jesus. So if we are going to come into that, I see you're actually talking about a union, oneness, being united, being connected, you know. So after we've done everything, we still have to come to that personal relationship with Christ, and that's what opens the key. Where it's no longer a concept, an idea, something we know about, a living personal relationship. That's what John says he was, and he saw Christ in the new. And when he saw, he was slain. He was slain, and he had to give him strength. And he began to see Christ in a new dimension. You know, so we need to have that personal relationship.
Amen.
We need to get born again and again.
Amen.
We need to fall in love with Jesus afresh.
Amen.
You know, and there's a scripture that really captures that. If you go to Mark 12:30.
Mark 12:30. I want to see that.
Mark 12:30.
Yes. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. That this is the first commandment.
You know, so it's really simple, but it captures it. It says, "You will love the Lord your God with all the." Remember what I said about the heart. The heart is at three levels. It's at the level of the mind, the level of the soul, and the level of the body.
Mind,
soul, and body. That's the level at which the heart works. So the deepest part of the heart is in the heart. It's in the level of the mind. Okay?
You see, it's like a wheel, like a wheel in the wheel.
So when you go into the wheel, it starts going deeper. Alright? So, at the realm of your body, your heart is really not that object in your chest, it's in your head. The heart, the control of All the body is in the head.
The mind.
You understand? It's in the brain.
Yeah, the brain.
But the brain is linked to the soul. The brain is linked to your emotions, your desire, your will. So, you see, it, so it takes it out of the natural plane into the spirit, which is the realm of your chemicals, of your hormones, and all this. So you can't feel those. But it's that what connects the realm of emotions and desire and will. And at that point, those four natures also, they work together, and that is the heart at that level. Then, at a much higher dimension is the mind. Okay, so the body is joined to the mind, the soul is joined to the mind, and the mind is joined to the spirit. So that is, so when you think about the heart, it's a reality. So it says you must love the Lord with, now, God is saying you must love the Lord with your mind, with the heart. So he's speaking of consciousness, sin consciousness and righteousness consciousness. You know, man naturally is conscious of sin. All right? But you see, God, and so we're not really conscious of God. But God is raising my conscience, bringing salvation to me, writing a new law where I'll be conscious of God. I will do the things I want to do because of God, not because of sin. Not because I'm afraid of sin. Not because of the punishment of sin, but I love Him because... I love Him because I can see, and I'm obeying God and submitting because of who He is. You understand? So, it's not a relationship based on sin, but a relationship based on loving God, knowing who He is. You know God. You know the nature of God. God is patient, He's love, He's kind. You know? God, there's no evil with Him. So somebody can run it because you don't want to go to hell, you love God. Okay? Because you want food, God gives food. Because you want blessing, God gives blessing. Alright? So that is a natural level of it. You understand? But you come to the point where you love God for who He is. You understand?
And because you don't want to offend Him, even some thoughts, you don't even allow them in your
heart. Exactly.
Because
you
know that he will be offended.
Yes. David said, I will not set any wicked thing before my eyes. It's a law, he said for himself. You know? So, in other words, so there is a shift from sin consciousness to God consciousness. So, you are aware of God. Yes, you know. So, it's the more the heart is before Him, the more the nature of the heart begins to change. So you understand? So, say my heart follower, he says, seek my face, and my heart said, your face, O God, will I seek. It's a response. You begin to respond to God. You begin to feel God. You understand? So you're looking at, so the heart is right there, and of course you see the mind and all that. But he says, I'm going to put my law in the inward part. You know? So, and that's the power of the gospel. That the change is in out. So God goes to where the change is needed in the heart. God, the devil has set off his headquarters in the heart. See, the heart is desperately evil and wicked. Who can know? God says, I know the heart. So God, I say, I, the Lord, try the reins. He is the king of the reins. Don't you understand? It takes a lot of power. There's a lot of energy in the heart. God says, I will put my law in the inward. That law means my nature. Nomos. Greek for nomos means my law, my culture, my personality. In other words, he's speaking of light. So in other words, light is coming into the darkness. Alright? And it is sure that the light, the darkness will not comprehend it. The darkness cannot withstand it. Amen. So shine. See, the true light is now shining, and the darkness is gone. It's past. You understand? You know. So, you see, you love the Lord with all your heart, with all the soul, and with the mind. So you can see the breakdown: the mind, the soul. Sorry, the heart, the soul, the mind,
and the strength.
The strength as the body, and the energy. So the energy of my life is not earth based. It is heaven based. And if it's heaven based, then you cannot grow weak. So the day that I wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. So why other people's strength are going down, you are going stronger? Because you are getting yours from heaven. You know, so and every day becomes stronger. So say the path of the righteous is like a shining light that shines brighter and brighter until, you know, the energy of in worldly energy and strength, it's really not going to go far.
That's why the 70 years. By reason of strength.
When
you expire, that energy will expire.
Yeah, it will. Be born out. So you see, man is like a vapor. Yeah. It comes now, it's gone. It's not continuous. But you see, when that man is joined to the river, he joined to the strength of the river, so the river will flow continuously.
Yeah,
you understand?
The power of an endless life.
Yes.
As if I've never seen that before. It's so true. I was like, wow.
Power
of an endless life.
In Hebrews 7. That's Melchizedek. The priesthood of Melchizedek. Because that power is joined to the endless supply. It has no beginning, it has no end. So that supply is in your soul. It's coming down. So heaven come down. Heaven is coming within the soul. And that person is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning. You say, I was alive and I'm dead. I was dead, now I'm alive. It's the resurrection. So resurrection is in a person, eternity is in the person. So it changes the whole concept. You know, that everything is concentrated in Christ. And so that is the power of that that is given to us. And it's good, it's coming quietly.
Amen.
It's just seeping through. You know, it's gradually seeping through.
Yes.
You know, and
so that's coming on the Lord. I was telling you for
him. You know, so
coming daily.
Oh,
yeah. The Lord is coming daily.
You know, every day it's breaking in and coming. So I think that is just, you know, that's just what I feel this evening. You know, so we'll just pray and respond. You know, that this energy will be plumbed to this source of life. Yeah. Amen. Amen.